Wow, we could finish there, probably should. You know, the four words you've never taken to heart from me are, I won't be long. So, what a wonderful conglomeration of music you've had. How fitting to give our Lord such glory. I'm going to talk about me today. We're going to talk about our Lord. That's why we're here. When Scottish theologian John Bailey taught at Edinburgh University, he made it a practice to open his course on the doctrine of God with these words. We must remember in discussing God that we cannot talk about him without his hearing every word we say. We may be able to talk about others behind their backs, but God is everywhere, yes, even in this room. Therefore, in all our discussions, we must be aware of his infinite presence and talk about him, as it were, before his face. He's here with us. Let us never forget that. When Moses asked the Lord in Exodus 33, you know what? Show me your glory. I'm convinced he didn't have any idea what he was saying. Today we're going to talk about the glory of God. From Luke chapter 2. Listen as I read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, while the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told them. That word glory in the the New Testament is the word doxa. We get the word doxology from it. Several terms, words associated with this term: glory, dignity, honor, praise, worship. It's a term that speaks of honor due or rendered. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew term is kabod. Kabod. It means heavy. It means glory, splendor, honor, majesty. In practical terms, God's glory is this: the manifestation of the divine attributes and perfections of God. And it was revealed to men in Shekinah in a very explosive way. This is why if you and I were to be escorted into the presence of God at this moment, we would be incinerated. Because we are not prepared yet to be in the presence of such glory. Now in this passage, in Luke 2, we are given several manifestations of the glory of God. I want to look at them with you. In 1715, King Louis XIV of France died after a reign of 72 years. He had called himself the Great and was the monarch who made the famous statement, "I am the state. I am the state." His court was the most magnificent in Europe, and his funeral was equally spectacular. As his body lay in state in a golden coffin, orders were given that the cathedral should be very dimly lit with only a special candle set above his coffin to dramatize his greatness. At the memorial, thousands waited in hushed silence. Then Bishop Massillon began to speak. Slowly reaching down, he snuffed out the candle and said, "Only God is great. Only God is great." You know, we obtain maybe lots of land, great savings in our bank accounts perhaps, lots of nice vehicles and machinery, and yet we all die the same. I think I've shared with you the words of Plutarch before. Plutarch said, "Alexander the Great, seeing Diogenes looking attentively at the parcel of human bones, asked the philosopher what he was looking for. Diogenes replied, 'That which I cannot find, the difference between your father's bones and those of his slaves.'" God's glory. This season is all about God's glory. Notice, first of all, in this passage, we see the glory of the Lord revealed in God's sovereignty, verses 1 to 5. There was a decree that went out from Caesar. Everyone should go back to his hometown and meet for the census. And he uses godless people, God does, to exercise and fulfill his will. Even godless people, like Caesar. Caesar was godless, wasn't he? But he required that everybody go back to his hometown to take part in the census. And in doing that, he was fulfilling prophecy. Isn't that great? God's sovereignty. Are you aware of that? We think we're going to Yakima, but we're not sure yet because there's been some unsteady things going on there. Mark will share more next week. We didn't want to take time today, but guess what? God leads through his providence. He is in control. Isaiah 45, 5 to 7, God says, "I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all of these. I do them all. In Isaiah 46, we read these words. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. You think you get the point yet? Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. He's already declared it. It will be fulfilled. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. You think you'll get it done? Yeah, he will. Romans 8:28, you know the words, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's all going to work together for good. The Lord has never forsaken his own. Aren't you glad? Number two, the glory of the Lord revealed in his timing. The glory of the Lord revealed in God's timing. Notice it was God's perfect timing. Verses 6 and 7, it says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. It's all according to his perfect timing. Now here's a passage that the Lord brought to mind yesterday, so I didn't get it to the PowerPoint in time for Gene to get it in there for me. Psalm 46, 4-5, you might write that in there. It's a great reminder. Listen to what it says. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. My boys and I like westerns. One of the old westerns we watch is that great one that was made in the 80s, I think, Silverado. And Danny Glover has a great line in there when he was asked about a situation. He just came out back from it. And he said, we got there just short of too late. We got there just short of too late. And that's the way it seems sometimes, isn't it? With us and our perspective. And God answered, boy, just short of too late. I feel that way sometimes lately. Number three, the glory of the Lord revealed to lowly shepherds. Now, this is my favorite part of the text. Here they were, just lowly shepherds. Theirs was not an honorable calling. May I remind you of what Paul says of us? 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. He writes, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen. There you are, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. You get the idea? Three times, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him, literally by his doing, as the NES renders it, you are in Christ Jesus. It's his doing. Who became for us, Christ has, wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, God has, there's two kinds of glory in Scripture. One is God's intrinsic glory. That's God's glory that inheres within him. People say, give glory to God. Well, guess what? It's above our pay grade. We cannot give God glory, any more glory than he's already got. His intrinsic glory goes beyond imagination. The universe can't hold his glory. But then there's the ascribed glory. Now that's what we're talking about when we say give God glory. You and I give God glory through our lives, by the things done in his power. So, the glory of the Lord revealed to lowly shepherds. Fourthly, the glory of the Lord revealed through God's angels. This is great, because there are several terms that spring from it. If you have your notes, you see them there as kind of sub-points. The glory of the Lord revealed through God's angels. Let's look at these terms now. Watch them. Glory is the first one. Glory. Revealing Jesus' preeminence. You see, glory belongs to God alone. I think we understand this. Isaiah 42:8. God says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. I am the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:16 speaks of Jesus Christ, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Dwelling in, notice it please, unapproachable light. We couldn't be in the presence of such glory. It's like like Steve Lawson said, it's like 10,000 suns blazing in the middle of the summer. It would incinerate us. Next word, Savior. Savior, sozo. Revealing Jesus' purpose. John 3:17, Jesus said concerning himself, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's the whole purpose he came, to save us. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am Jesus. And that term Christ, revealing Jesus' promise. Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples one day, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Acts 2:36, it's Peter now who declares, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Speaking of that word Lord, that's the next one. Look at it, Lord. Kyrios in the Greek. This reveals Jesus' position. Philippians 2, 9-11, after it talks about his immeasurable sacrifice, we pick it up in verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory, there it is, of God the Father. Glory. Reigning in unapproachable light and glory. Then that term, babe, this reveals Jesus' pilgrimage, doesn't it? His pilgrimage. Isaiah 7:14, you know this verse. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What's that term mean? God with us. God the Son would be making that pilgrimage into this sin-filled world so that he could suffer. So that he could suffer for you. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, thank God. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My grandson Peyton is over here trying to out-preach me. A lot of names to come up with. When they first came up with that name, I wasn't sure what it meant. I thought, did you guys just come up with a bunch of consonants and vowels and put them together? But he's nobody else to me now. That's little Peyton Lee. But any kind of a name, think of a name for a child. Emmanuel. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. No ordinary child. Then notice a multitude of heavenly hosts giving Jesus praise as all will one day do. Revelation 5. I love this passage. I probably read it in 70% of my messages. I'm going to read it again. Are you ready? Revelation 5, 11 to 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What's that under the earth? That's the whole demonic host. Even they will have to give glory to God. And such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. The glory of God fifthly revealed through God's salvation. This thing. Did you notice they said, let's go see this thing. That's a weird way to talk about a baby. Well, they understood this thing to be, this birth to be an event. A work of God. Luke 2:30, Simeon holding the Christ child says to the Lord there in the temple, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Holding a baby. My eyes have seen your salvation. Here he is. Notice it says, which the Lord has made known to us. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9. Notice what Jonah said there. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You've never learned anything else about theology. That's the most important truth you can ever learn. Salvation is of the Lord. Not your doing, not mine, not because we're meeting here today or you've been faithful. Salvation is of the Lord. Notice they came with haste. They came with haste. Matthew 4, remember the calling of the disciples and walking by the Sea of Galilee? He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left the nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, I'm not sure about your dad, what he'd have done, if that would have been you. I wouldn't have got beyond spitting distance if somebody said to me, "Hey, Dean, follow me," in the middle of harvest. My dad would have had a few words. But those men, boom, gone. They were out of there. They followed him immediately. Have you done that? Sixthly, the glory of the Lord revealed through man's witness. Because now when they had seen him, they made widely known. Do you know what made the disciples so effective, bold in their witness, in making Christ known to their world? It was the time they spent with Jesus. One of my favorite verses, you know this, is Acts 4:13. When they were brought before the Sanhedrin, you know? Before the authorities. It says, "Now when they," the Sanhedrin, "saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus." We spend time with him. I love when Moses came down from the mountain, he'd been peering into just a fraction of the glory of God. Just a little bit. And he came down off that mountain and his face was so glowing, having been peering into that glory, that he had to shield his face so that he wouldn't blind the eyes of his fellow Israelites. So it's true of you and me. When we spend time alone in the presence of the Lord. Seventhly, the glory of the Lord revealed through the fulfillment of God's word. Verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Oh, the power of the word. Isaiah 55:11. You know it. God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." My friend Jerry, who we had a service for this last week, believed in the power of the word. He was a faithful Gideon and took great joy in dispersing the word of God. You know how privileged and he would go along with me to do the Bible studies at the rehab? Just to read scriptures. Precious friend. I'm going to close with two passages, okay? First time he came, Jesus came in humility. Not so next time. These are not in the PowerPoint, so don't need to keep searching. That just came to me this morning. Next time Jesus comes, it's not going to be in a manger. It's going to be in glory. Listen to these words from Revelation 19, 11 through 16. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many diadems. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's you and me. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who he is. One day you'll see him. It's the most exciting thing I had for Jerry this last week. Be in the presence of our Lord and see him face to face. Last passage, Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. This is Jesus' words. And the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Next time he comes, it will be with great glory. It's been my joy to serve this last almost 12 years. And the previous time, right out of college, this was my first gig, so to speak, right here. From 1990 to March of 94, 15 years to the week, I came back. Second week of March of 09. Appreciate you allowing us to be here and serve. We'll pray for you, pray for God's will going forward. Pray that God will send you a faithful, discerning man of God. The waters are going to be white coming downstream. It's going to get rough in our culture. So we pray that God will give you someone who can discern the times and proclaim the truth fearlessly. Fearlessly. Plan of salvation. I couldn't leave off a message without it. Maybe you're here today and you've been faithful to attend many times or quite often, consistently. Yet you know in your heart of hearts that you really don't know him. What a day, the Sunday before Christmas, for you to come to Christ in true and genuine saving faith. Did you know that even that is a gift from the Lord? God has to give you the faith to believe. All you do is you cry out to him, and that gift, it comes just like that. Cry out to him today and give him your life. Know and understand that Christ came to pay a debt that you and I could never pay. He came to suffer on that cross the wrath of the Father in your place. He suffered infinitely for you. And then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead in power. So that all those who put their faith in him are given the free gift of everlasting life. And he made that decision. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your glory. And we look forward to that glorious return of Jesus. And Lord, our hearts go today to anyone here this morning who is not certain of their relationship with you. If there should be one person here who is not sure of their relationship with you or where they'll be in eternity, stir them by your Spirit, even at this moment, to cry out to you in saving faith, saying, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that that sin has come between you and me. But I thank you for sending Jesus, who died on that cross for me and rose from the dead. I believe he's alive this morning. And in your power, I receive him as Savior, and I bow my knee before him as Lord.